Hey, Google, what is the chief end of man?
Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever.
Yeah, I'm on a mission like a couple spies, and that, guys, is the reason why I catechize.
Welcome to the Reform Standard. I'm Tony. Let's get started. Question 59 of the Westminster Larger Catechism reads, who are made partakers of redemption through Christ? And the answer is, redemption is certainly applied and effectually communicated to all those for whom Christ hath purchased it, who are in time by the Holy Spirit enabled to believe in Christ according to the gospel. Question 59 here is picking up where question 58 left off. And we talked about in question 58 how the work of planning and decreeing the redemption of God's people is especially the work of the Father. The work of obtaining or procuring is the language the Catechism uses here. That redemption and all of the other benefits of covenant of grace is particularly the work of Jesus Christ, of the Son. And then the application of those benefits is particularly the work of the Holy Spirit. And so question 59 is extending that logic to talk about now that we understand who decrees, who procures, and who applies the work of the Trinity unto the elect. Here it's talking about who those people are. And so we see that redemption is certainly applied. So there's no limitation or failure to accomplish the application of this redemption to those whom it's intended for. It's effectually communicated. So that's another emphasis way to say that it's applied, it's communicated. So there's nobody who is in some sort of state where the benefits are applied in some hypothetical sense, but are not yet accomplished upon that person or applied or communicated. And it's applied and communicated to all of those for whom Christ hath purchased it. So there's sometimes a discussion in Reformed theology about the concept of limited atonement. So the doctrine that's commonly known as TULIP, which comes from a response to some Arminian complaints called the Arminian Remonstrance to Reformed theology. The doctrine of limited atonement or particular atonement is sometimes said to be not a Reformed doctrine, that it's not a necessary Reformed doctrine. But here what we see is that not only does Christ purchase the redemption or purchase this atonement for a particular people, but all of those people for whom it is purchased, it is effectually applied and communicated to. And so right here in question 59, we have embedded within it the entire concept of particular or limited atonement. So there are none who this redemption is purchased for that it is not applied to, right? So there's none who God intends to save that are not actually saved in time. But also there are none for whom God hoped or intended to purchase redemption for who ultimately are not saved. So there's no failure on God's part to accomplish exactly what he set out to accomplish in redemption. And then here, the next part of it after the colon here, the semicolon here, it says those who are in time by the Holy Ghost enabled to believe in Christ according to the gospel. And so there was a view in Reformed theology that was floating around called eternal justification, in which the reality of God's work happening prior to time, right, the decree of election in God's mind to determine who would be saved out of the common sinful humanity, that those people never were in a point where they were actually under God's condemnation. And so they were eternally justified in the sense that since God had determined to save them, there was no real transition in time from a state of wrath to a state of grace. And so this question here is speaking against that by saying this redemption is certainly applied and effectually communicated to all the elect. So it's not excluding the idea that God had a particular group of people in eternity past. it's being applied in time to those who the Holy Ghost enables to believe. And so this in time element is saying there's a genuine transition point in the life of a believer. Now, we can talk about this from God's perspective, and there's no transition within God. So God's perspective on people doesn't change in terms of his eternal decree. But because there's a point in time where this person is still operating apart from God, they're still operating apart from faith and trust in Christ, there is a time where they are under God's wrath, and then at a point in time, the Holy Spirit enables them to believe, and because they believe in Christ according to the gospel, they transition from that state of wrath, where they're born children of wrath, following the princes and the principalities of the air, right out of Ephesians 1 and 2 there. They transition from that state of wrath, from that natural state that they are born into a state of grace where they are redeemed, and the benefits of the covenant of grace are really applied to them in time. So if we look at this question holistically and comprehensively, what we see is that God unconditionally elects, right? We had to have the U there of TULIP. He elects people before all time. We saw that earlier in the catechism here. He applies this redemption effectually to all of those whom he has elected. So we have particular atonement there embedded into the equation. And then this happens at a moment in time. So there's a real transition from a state of total depravity to a state of wrath, to a state of regeneration, and then ultimately redemption and sanctification because of what Christ has done. You know, if you want, you could know this. The catechism, hey, the catechism, hey. Do you know what the chief and the man is? And how the Father, Son, and Spirit do manage? Do you know if you want, you could know this. West Side.